Welcome to Threshold Church. Today's message is from Peter Andrews.
I love the word because it has everything and anything you guys need. It's not just written to collect dust. It's not written to just hang on a shelf. You know, there's some religions where, anyway, I won't go into detail, but they hold this book and yet it has no life in it. Ours is a book that has life. It's full of life, whatever you need, everything that you need. It is your guide. It is your sustenance. It is everything that you need, but you must open it up. The word that the Lord gave me, it may be heavy at first, but please stick with me, okay? Just stick with me. Because at the end, I promise the Lord has something for you. There's always a promise. He always gives that promise. And it's in his word, so just stick with me. The word the Lord gave me, I'm sure you've heard many sermons on this, but as I was praying on what the Lord had for this church in this hour, he led me to Matthew chapter 25, so open the word if you have it. And if you don't, share with your neighbor, or I guess turn on your phone, one of the two. But maybe the phone's been the problem, so turn it off and go to your neighbor. All joking aside, some of us need to turn those things off. You know, as the Lord was leading me to this word, one of the things that he began to ask and began to just fill me was, how great is the light? How great is that light within you? I'm going to rabbit trail for a minute, but some of us have greater lights in front of us known as the television. When God is saying, I want you to be the light of the world. God is calling us to be the light of the world. But if there's mixture in our lives, how is there going to be a difference? How is the world going to see a distinct difference between the people of God and the people of the world? When the world is shouting right now, the world is yelling and screaming. And the people of God have just been dampened. And I'm wondering, God, why? And the Lord just keeps reminding me because they're full of mixture right now. You know, the Lord's been challenging me more and more. He asks me, Peter, how much do you want of me? And I tell you, whenever he challenges you, you better obey. And he asks me, how much do you want? And he kept asking me, and I was like, I want more, I want more. He goes, okay, then I'm going to require more of you. And it wasn't a burden, it was almost a hunger. I said, all right, then I'm going to go for it. So he says, all right, here it is, then wake up earlier. And I said, God, I'm already waking up early. He says, you're right. Give me one more hour. Whew, Jesus. Some of you, he's asking you to do something. Some of you, he's challenging you because he wants to fill you, to send you, to use you. And so the Lord, during these times in this hour that I was with him, I was like, God, I was praying out to God and saying, what is going on with the church? Why, Lord? When I saw this vision, and it was as clear as day. It was probably the second day I started waking up an hour earlier. Praise the Lord when we obey. He's so faithful. He shows up. He doesn't lie. He's not making me wake up earlier to just make me tired. Well, the second day, he shows me this vision, and I saw a vision of a large man because I was crying. I said, Lord, what's going on with the church? He showed me this vision of a large man grabbing all these things, but yet he was tried to go after God, and the Holy Spirit spoke clearly to me. He says, he won't let go of his stuff. My heart began to break because I was like, God, why won't we let go of our stuff? Why won't we just submit as a body of Christ, just as believers, just submit? When you call us to do something, just lay it down and submit, because his promise, he wants to fill us. He wants to fill you, to use you, to pour you out for others. One hand on God, one hand on man. You are the conduit of his love. You are the conduit of his promises. You will go into the marketplace. You will go into the places that people thought were impossible to go. But because you were a conduit, you obeyed, he's going to use you. But there's a requirement. And we can't be full of mixture. So we open to Matthew chapter 25, and I titled this message. I say, Lord gave me this title. It says, the journey is going to require oil. This is a message we've probably heard so many times, but I believe it's very relevant for the day and the hour that we're in, because we read the story of these 10 virgins, and we've read it, and we've read it, and we've read it. But there is something in it for this hour that the Lord is requiring of his church, and he's going to ask us tonight. And I believe that some of you will respond, and some of you will go away from here and go, well, that was good, but I've heard it before. Some of you will respond and go, wait a minute, I need to evaluate. I need to make the line in the sand. You know, Jake spoke a word back when we first started meeting, arise and shine. I don't know if how many of you actually remember that word. He said, arise and shine. I believe the last few weeks we have seen the message of arising. We have seen the message where it's standing up, standing firm, standing steadfast, arising. I believe that the Lord is going to begin to lead us into messages about shining. Not for our glory, not for us to be magnified, but for the kingdom of heaven, for Jesus Christ to shine, to rule and reign in the place where he should. The journey that we're on right now is going to, like I said, require oil, but you cannot run away. Don't get tired. Don't get weary. It's going to come. But know where your source of strength comes from. What did David say? He said, sorrow may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. You see, sometimes it's weary. We get tired and we're like, man, is this really going to last this long? Are things going to really last this long? And I would love to stand up here, but that's not what the Lord gave me to stand and say, hey, next month it's all getting better. It's all turned around, guys. But I see it as an opportunity for us to dive in deeper, because things are getting darker. It's just the truth. People's hearts, men's hearts are growing so cold. They're growing so hard. And we're seeing it even from our brothers and our sisters. It's like the ones who we thought were the closest to us, the family, the body of Christ. And it's like, what do you mean? I mean, stop attacking me. These men's and women's hearts are just growing so cold. You know, Christ was so intentional when he was here on earth. And I believe it is time for us to be very intentional in prayer, in our lifestyles, in our walks, in our postures, very, very intentional. And if there's anything that you get from this message that's about to be spoken tonight, is begin to be intentional. Begin to stay steadfast. Begin to look at the mark and say, that's where I'm headed, and I'm no longer looking back. I'm putting my hands to the plow no matter what it costs. I know there's probably some farmers in this room. If you put your hands to the plow, first thing that happens is those hands begin to bleed before it grows calluses. And once those hands begin to grow calluses, then you have the ability to go deeper. You have the ability to push harder. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Matthew chapter 25. I'm just going to read and you follow along with me, and then I'll stop intermittently. Verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom. As I read this, it's like, wow. Here you have these virgins who have separated themselves up to this point, right? They've said, we're going to be pure. We're going to be, kind of pure and untouched. Because there's a purpose. There's a purpose. We're going to meet this bridegroom, right? We're going to meet what we've been destined to do. And it says that they all took their lamps. Every single one of them took their lamps. And I was beginning to read this and I thought, wow, Lord, how much of the church, you know, we all thought we were ready, right? We were ready to meet him. And we all got ready. You know, we're up here praising and singing, and I'm talking globally, not just Threshold. All right, we're going to do whatever it takes. We're going to separate. We're going to do this and that, and we're going to take our lamps and we're going to shine. You know, the lamp is meant for what? What's the purpose of a lamp? This is the speaking time. To light, to shine, to do something, to expel darkness, right? We could turn the lights off in this room and one person could light a lamp or light a lighter or whatever, and it's going to expel darkness. It's going to remove. What did God say, right? Genesis, right? Chapter 1, verse 3. This is before the sun is created, before the stars are created. He said, let there be light. Let the Spirit of God begin to resonate in this place to where darkness is expelled. No longer is the identification of the earth going to be darkness. But my Spirit is going to be birthed into that darkness. I'm going to use later down the road men and women to carry my light. So you have these virgins. All these virgins had the same intention of meeting the bridegroom. All 10 of them. That was the intention, was to meet the bridegroom. I think it's the same, I said a little bit earlier, it's the same with the body of Christ, you know, pre all of this happening, we kind of had these same intentions, right? Like, bring people in. Bring them in. Do the 3-song set. Preach a 30-minute message so you guys can all get back to football. I'm sorry, that may hurt some of you, but it's true. You were more focused on after church than you were present in church. And everybody who's, this is the first time I've ever been on Facebook in my life, so all of you who are listening to, maybe you've got 7 other things you're focused on as you're listening to this message. How intentional were we before all of this to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and his purity? We all wanted to keep it simple, right? Don't talk about sin in the house of God, because that's going to offend somebody. Well, there's a lot of offending going on right now. I don't have social media, but boy, do I hear about it. Everybody's offended. Don't offend people. He's coming back for us all. Just love him. Well, that's true in part, right? We are called to love. We are called to have grace. We're called to have mercy. We're called to go and embrace people. Daddy, daddy. That's how we should be crying out. Daddy, daddy. Praise the Lord. Verse 2, and 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish, verse 3, took their lamps, but took no oil with them. Other versions say they took no oil in their flasks or in their vessels. I look at this and I begin to have that first accusational thought in my head, and I thought, why didn't they prepare? What the heck were they thinking? Like they saw the wise virgins. They saw this other group that they were with, right? They saw them preparing. They saw them getting ready for this journey. Don't you think that, and I'm just going to speculate, don't you think in that moment they may have questioned, why are they taking more than they need? Or why are they taking extra? The Bible lays out foolish and wise people. It is very, very evident. You want to be wise? You want to be ready for the seasons ahead? Start reading Proverbs. Start getting in the Word to obtain wisdom. What does the book of James say? I mean, clearly it's written out in James, right? It says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask God. We wonder why there's no voice right now, because everything on the airways is foolish. There was something I heard a long time ago. An atheist came to a judge. Maybe you, a lot of you have heard this. But an atheist came to a judge and said, hey, everybody has a holiday but an atheist. The Jews, the Christians, the Muslims, everybody's got a holiday. I think we need to have a holiday for the atheists. And the judge looked at him and he says, you do. It's called April Fool's. He says, it's written in the Bible, in Psalms 14:1, only the fool says in his heart, there is no God. It's true. We've got fools speaking up louder than those that have wisdom, but those that have been required to get wisdom aren't in it. It's everything's there. All wisdom, all understanding is in there. Anything you need for wisdom and godliness, it says in the Word. So many people, I don't know how to get pure. I don't know how to do that. Well, goodness gracious. Are you in the Word? Are you eating it more than you're eating something else? Goodness, if you've got nothing else to do, read the Bible. That's why I don't have a TV. I'm not boasting. I don't have a television in my house. Why? So I can convince myself that a Netflix video is good? I don't have time for that. Why? There's too much at stake here, guys. There's too many lost souls. There's too many people in our businesses and our marketplaces and around us that need you to be a light to them. They need to see Jesus shining through you. You know, I often, as I read this, I thought, wow, maybe the foolish people thought, you know, the journey would be a lot quick. It would just be real fast. We're not gonna have to wait. It's gonna be a fast journey, right? We're just gonna get ready. We're gonna start walking and boom, there's the bridegroom. So whatever substance I've got in my lamp is enough. I think this about believers, sometimes it's like, I got that. I know that scripture. I can memorize it. I got it. I quote it. God didn't feed the Israelites yesterday's manna. He gave them fresh manna every day. Every single day he provided for them. I also thought about as I wrote this down, I thought, you know, maybe the oil was too costly and they didn't want to buy more. Again, these were just thoughts that ran through my head as I was reading this. Maybe they looked at the cost of what it would actually cost to obtain more oil and carry more vessels with them. Maybe they thought, you know what? My money's better spent. My time is better spent going somewhere. You guys, the cost right now in the hour, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. Maybe it's an extra hour, I don't know, but or maybe it's leaving your place of business to go into something else because you know the Lord is calling you into, it is going to cost you something. And maybe these five foolish virgins thought, it's just not worth it to carry extra with me. Or maybe they thought, I'm gonna have to give something else up in order to have room for extra vessels. You got to give some things up, guys. Sometimes we've accumulated, if I can be honest with you, junk. And we're carrying it with us and we're like, man, I just am so heavy. I just can't seem to win. I just can't seem to get ahead. And because it's like if you ever sold your home or moved or something, and you're like, how did I get this much stuff? Where did it all come from? And you keep opening cupboards and there's more and it goes deeper and deeper and then nobody got into the basement yet. Goodness, the basement's full of junk that you haven't touched in years and you forgot you had it. Some of you need to go home and do some house cleaning, huh? You need help. All right, we'll sign up for it. But in all seriousness, I look at this and I'm like, maybe they, could they have thought in that moment, I don't have enough room, it's too much to carry, it's too heavy, so I'm not willing to give something else up because I like it too much. I'm actually enjoying it a little bit. Secretly, I'm enjoying it. Secretly, I have an affection. My heart has been given over to it a little bit. I'm going to say it again. You kind of really enjoy listening to Fox and CNN. You really like being stirred up. Or you really like just entertaining. It's rated PG-13. It's not R. It's fine. And you know what? This time I'm watching it with other Christians. So it must be okay if they're not offended. But guys, God is calling us to be a separated, consecrated bride, not full of mixture. Not full of mixture. Not looking a little bit like the world. You're in the world, but not of it, the word says, right? Not of it at all. Some of you just need to get rid of the idols in your house. Because it shines bright as could be. You know, the Lord sold me something months ago. He said, Peter, in this season that we're about to head in, people are going to bend their knee, bend their knee, bend their knee, and eventually they'll bow. We bend our knees to compromise. We bend our knees to situations. We bend our knees to people. We bend our knees. We lose conviction. We lose authority and position. We bend our knee. Eventually, we bow. And then Jake opened up that message about bowing. If we're not steadfast, if we don't look at our mark and go, that's where I'm headed, nothing else. Remember, broad is the path that, but narrow is the path that leads to life and God and godliness. Narrow is that path, guys. I would, you know what, gee, I'm not going to go there. Thank you, Jesus. All right. How is it sometimes as believers, we're not willing to give things up? I'm just going to let you resonate and sit on that. When I first came to know Jesus, boy, did he highlight things in my life. And we are like that. When we first come to the Lord, man, he highlights, and man, that hunger and thirst for righteousness is there. And somewhere along the way, we make peace with something that's not of him. What is God calling you to give up in this hour? Because I promise you, it's much better. I promise you. Ask yourself right now, what is it, God? Search my heart. David said it, search my heart, O Lord, lest there be found any wickedness in me. We've got to get back to that type of praying, right? God, search my heart. And then when he does and he highlights something, you are obedient. I think we like to pray that just to hear ourselves say it. Not really interested in him actually searching. Because searching actually is exposing. And exposing brings humility. All right, verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. I wrote this as I was studying this. Their preparation would determine their position. Their preparation would determine the position they ended up taking. We heard over the past few weeks how Daniel purposed in his heart, right? I was reading this and I thought, you know, oftentimes we're prepared to face things, right? You're prepared to give a speech, so you study it. You're prepared, I don't know, for marriage, so you look into it, right? You begin to date. You're prepared, you prepare yourself, you train yourself. I was thinking about, you know, I'm actually really excited that all sports have been shut down. Because it gives us an opportunity to say, how much time were you preparing your fantasy football league? How much time were you preparing to go around to your buddies and make sure that you weren't the fool, right? You wanted to know all the stats. So you didn't look like you didn't know about your team. And you prepared and you studied and you watched all the sports center and this and that. And man, when we come into the house of God, are we prepared to talk about the holy things of God? Have we been all week filling up so that when I come and I look at my brother and I say, hey, what's God teaching you? And instead of that blank stare, I'd be like, man, let me tell you what he's teaching me. He's leading through this, this, and this. And man, his stats are this, this, and this. And so I'm really excited. I know sports are still kind of going on, but the preparation will determine the position you end up taking. Prepare right now, guys. Get ready. Get ready, because the greatest harvest to be seen, I believe it with all my heart, the greatest harvest of souls to come into the kingdom, not to fill a church, not to fill a building, but to be a part of the living church, is coming in. If you're prepared to give account, if you're prepared to go into the highways and the byways, if you're prepared in your heart to go back into the marketplace, to go back into the workplace and give account for who your God is, the greatest harvest is going to come in. Verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. This is a really sobering verse for me. I don't think that all churches have been asleep, although some of them have, but I think we've all slumbered a little bit. We got a little bit lazy with the demand of holiness. We got a little bit lazy with a consecrated life. We got a little bit lazy with walking in truth, walking in freedom. We got a little bit lazy with opening the word. We got a little bit lazy with coming to the prayer meeting. Some churches are still asleep, and I'll share a story real quick. I was at a friend's house, and I met a missionary. This was just recent. And he's a missionary over in an area where the number of Christians is very small. And I was excited. I met him, and I was like, wow, like, this is going to be awesome. Like, I'm going to get to hear a little bit about, like, what the Lord is doing, you know, in this area. Like, I was excited. I was like, oh, he's like, I'm on furlough. You know, I came back here. And I said, oh, well, where's your home church? And he told me his home church in a, you know, local place. And I was like, oh, I didn't know they were open. And he goes, actually, yeah, they're open. He told me, he goes, they still have online church. I was like, okay. He goes, yeah, actually, you know, my brother-in-law really enjoys online church because he can sit back, turn it on, and just drink a glass of wine. And I went through this emotion. First, it was like, I was angry. I was like, are you kidding me right now? And then I went through like this grieving. I was like, oh, Lord, this is the sleepy church. Dead in the light. Asleep in the light. We have all that we need right here. It's like every time you open it, boom. But it's enjoyable just to sit behind a computer screen. I don't know what else is going behind the computer screen, but he clearly enjoys it. And he's satisfied with what minimal contact of people and relationships so he doesn't have to be held accountable and just sit back and enjoy like he's at a show. It's not the God that I read. He says, separate, be consecrated, be separated unto me. What God has called holy, let no man. Brothers and sisters, I am burdened because I'm looking at, and every morning that I'm waking up and praying, I'm looking at the church as a whole, not just Threshold, but the church as a whole, and my heart is grieved. It's grieved because we're okay with where we're at. It's like it's okay to just continue this modified version of church, and somehow it's justifiable. But if we were a people of prayer, the Lord would have already showed us how to be ready. Turn with me real quick to Acts 16. The next verse in Matthew 25 is going to parallel this verse that I'm going to, or these few verses I'm going to read in Acts, but I'm actually really excited because here's the exciting part. That first part was a little hard, and I know it's quiet in here, but there's victory, okay? There's victory. God is always a God of victory. He's promised the victory if you're ready and if you're willing. So praise God for the midnight hour. I really believe we're in a midnight hour where we're having to make a decision and making a choice. Are we going to wake up? Are we going to arise? Are we going to shine? In chapter 16, starting in verse 25, this is Paul and Silas. This is them imprisoned. And many of you know this story. It says at the midnight hour, this is verse 25, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Suddenly, verse 26, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosened. Verse 27, and the keeper of the prison awoke out of his sleep. Glory to God, some of us need to take that. You see, when we respond like Paul and Silas did in the midnight hour, when we begin to pray and praise, when we begin to be people of intercession, when we begin to be people of praise and prayer, I guarantee it's written, it happened right here. People are going to start hearing. Chains are going to be broken. People's bonds are going to be loosed. And even the keeper of the prison awoke from his sleep. Think about this. How many yells and screams and stuff did that guard hear? I'm sure he heard a ton. He was numb to the screams of the prisoners. Numb. But something woke him. Something's got to wake this world up once again. And it's got to be the prayers and the praise of the people of God. I love this because verse 26, back in verse 26, there was a great earthquake and the foundations of the prison were shaken. I think this is so powerful because the earth shook. The earth responded to the prayer and the praises. Guys, the earth is going to respond to the separation when we begin to pray and praise. The foundations of the prison were shaken. The very thing that held people captive was beginning to be shaken. Everyone's bonds were loosened. I read that. Let's go back to Matthew 25. Verse 6 now. At midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom comes. Go out to meet him. There's been this resonating just, I hear it over and over. People are saying, come, come, Jesus, come, Jesus. Jesus, come. And it says in Revelations, I mean, if you turn to Revelations 22, 17, I'm going to read it right now. It Verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that hears say, come. Let him that athirst say, come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. There's this come. There's this verse 6 happening right now where there's a midnight cry being made saying, behold, the bridegroom is coming. I'm not here to get you all stirred up. It's the truth. I mean, if we read the word, we can clearly see. I mean, he could come tomorrow. He could come in 100 years, but he's coming. He is coming for a bride, a separated, consecrated bride. You see, the world's responding to the panic right now. The world's crying out in this panic mode. But people of God, we can respond like Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas. We can begin to praise and pray. Even when we're stuck, even when we're in a place of like, God, I don't know how I'm going to make it in this hour. I don't know how I'm going to press through in this hour. Let's keep reading. Verse 7, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. I would encourage you to write all or underline all. All means all, everything, everybody. They all arose and trimmed their lamps. They all responded in a way thinking they were ready. They all trimmed and said, all right, let's roll. Let's get out there. Our bridegroom is coming. And then something happens in verse 8. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. The unexpected happened. Wait a minute. We trimmed and we're out. So they go to the wise. They go to the wise and say, hey, give us another prophetic word. Give us another vision. Give us, what is the Lord saying? Well, somebody, hey, tell me what God is saying. And they're running to the next best conference to get the word. They're going to the wise saying, hey, you've spent time with the Lord. You know the word for the season. Foolish are saying, I had no idea that the waiting would be this long. I took enough just because it's what I had, right? I had no idea it would be this long. You're telling me I got to get in this every day? You're telling me I got to separate time every day? I think more than that, he's telling you, you got to give some things up. As we continue to read on, but the wise answered, saying, not so. Lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Verse 11. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. I begin to read, I was like, Lord, what was it? Was it that they were just too late? Why? And he led me to Psalm 5:5. Turn there with me. Again, the wise and the foolish. The foolish shall not stand in the sight. It says, the foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. I know that's a hard word, but when I read that, I thought, wow. There was a distinction between the foolish and the wise that he clearly laid out. The wise sought. The wise got oil ready in their lamps. And not only that, they prepared with more vessels filled with oil. They were diligent. They were ready. You see, they did fall asleep. But when they woke up, when the cry was heard, they woke up, they trimmed their lamps and they say, I know not only am I ready for the journey, I'm ready for a long journey. Even if the journey is uncomfortable, even if it requires me to give some things up, even if it requires me to prepare for something I don't even know is going to happen, I look at the wise and I'm just like, Lord, fill the church once again with wisdom. That we would be wise in everything that we would do. We would be wise when we play songs. That we would be wise when we share the word of God. That we would be wise when we come together in fellowship. We would be wise in our speech towards one another. I'll go back to the foolish. Everything right now that's being said is so foolish. People are arguing over the foolish things. I want to encourage you in this hour. I want to encourage you that if you just thought, hey, I got my oil in my lamp, and I'm ready. Nothing's changed, it'll all get back to how it was. I want to encourage you tonight. And we're going to spend a little bit of time in prayer to ask the Lord God, have I been foolish or wise? Have I sought you like I should seek you? Have I separated myself like I should separate myself? When you ask me to do something, to fill up, because you have an intended purpose. I love this because the bridegroom, he was delayed. There was an acknowledgement there of his delay. And in this hour where we're all just wanting, some of us just want to get out. Some of us just want to be done. If you just come right now, be done. I want to ask, yeah, but what if he delays a little bit longer? What if it's another couple days? Will you respond when your brother knocks on your door? And he says, I just knew that you were a house that would help set me free. I just knew that you would be a people that would pray for me. I just knew that you'd spent time with the Lord and I need you to ask yourself that question is, do you have the vessels? Do you have the oil in your lamp for the journey if it takes a little bit longer? I understand it's hard right now. I do. I get it. But I truly believe the Lord has given this word tonight to encourage you to say, I'm here to fill you up with more than you could ever expect, more than you could ever hope for. I'm here. I have everything written here for you. I have everything here for you. We're going to end this. If you just stand with me, Adam, I know you probably weren't ready for this, but could I have you get up here and play the violin? Called you out. I guess you can't say no, huh? I felt impressed when we were coming in today that the Lord was going to minister to the worship team. And then I was praying. I was like, well, who's going to play the music? He says, why do you need music? I don't know, Lord. Those habits, they got to be broken sometimes. But as he plays, I don't want anybody looking around. And again, it's not to shame or to try to be discreet. I believe some of you need to fill your vessels. Maybe you got a little bit of oil in your lamp, but it's the time to fill the vessels up. And the Lord has given a cry to say, hey, are you willing to give some things up? Some of us need to respond to this altar call and said, I'm actually in a little bit of mixture right now. I'm actually entertaining two things. I'm entertaining a little bit of the world and I want God. Thank you. Thank you. Just bow your heads or you don't have to bow your head. Let's just look unto the Lord. Father, And as Adam plays, I just want you to respond. Some of you are going to respond in your own way. Some of you are going to be in your seat right now and just lift your hand. Some of you maybe need to have a time at the altar. You need to come outright and just be like, God, I'm weary, I'm tired, and I don't know if I have the oil in my lamp, right? I don't know if I've got enough in my vessels. I don't know. And some of you just need to come to the altar, and some of you just need to spend time with the Father right now, allowing Him to fill you, allowing Him to pour and fill you up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, God, that we would be obedient. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Ramatarius. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I've released exactly what you've told me to say. Father, I thank you for the power of Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father, just as we declared earlier that we would be the branches planted by the streams of living water. Father, that we have enough oil for the journey ahead. That we separate ourselves for you. Father, that we would be a consecrated bride. We would not be full of mixture, God. Lord, that our confession would be the declarations and proclamations of the word of God from our mouths. That we would no longer be full of doubt or worry or fear. Just when you spoke, Jesus, you spoke to the disciples and said, "Oh, ye of little faith, God, forgive us for having little faith in areas of our lives. Oh, fill us in this hour, God. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the representation of oil through the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you that you are more than enough. You are more than enough. Thank you, Jesus. You fill parents in this hour with more than enough to pour into their children. That oil to be poured on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I'm reminded of the story of King David. When he was anointed king, he didn't take his position right away. That oil was poured over him and he went back to the sheep. But in that moment, I'm sure he looked as he was tending the sheep, he looked at that oil as it was running down the top of his head and running over his face and running down his chest and his legs and to his feet. He knew that he couldn't do that journey except anointed by the power of God. We can't do this journey, Lord, unless we have the strength given by you. Father, lest we fail us, it says, lest our hearts fail us. We need you, Lord. In this hour, we need you. I pray for every ear that was here tonight, Lord, every heart that was willing, every mind that was willing to be broken of strongholds, Lord, that they received according to your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we love you. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Father. I love you, Jesus. Love you, Father. Just tell him how much you love him. Tell him how much you love him, what he's done for you. He wouldn't give you a message like this unless he loved you and said, prepare. He loves you. Thank you, Jesus. You don't leave us in the miry pit. You don't leave us in despair. You don't leave us in confusion. Thank you. You are not the author of confusion. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Thank you for salvation. Thank you. We have an answer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Father. That's all the Lord has given me tonight. You're more than welcome to stay and hang out here. But if you need to get your children, I understand. I pray that you saw tonight not as to be heavy, because the Lord is, he doesn't do that. There was an opportunity tonight for you to look into the mirror. Don't forget, we need him. We need the Holy Spirit in this hour, guys. We need the oil. The journey's a little long, and that's okay. Amen. Let me just bless you. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the people here tonight, God. I pray that as they leave this place, Father, there's a sense of excitement, but also examination taking place. I thank you that you're more than enough. Lord, I just pray a blessing over each home represented here. Father, that as people go home into their houses, Lord, that they would hit a reset button. Look at their kids and say, we're on this journey together, kids. Here's what we need. Thank you. Fill each home. I thank you for the joy that fills those that are heavy laden and burdened. Thank you for the rest. A sweet slumber over some of you tonight who haven't slept in a long time. I just pray that in Jesus' name over you, that the torment that's been going on in your sleep is broken in Jesus' name. Thank you, and a sweet rest is being birthed tonight inside. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we give you all the glory because you deserve it. In Jesus' name, amen.
For more information about Threshold Church, visit the website at threshold-church.com.